what a delight to be able to share with you today what is really important to me, and also what my collaborator, Alex Xu, and I have been trying to study and understand. The title of my presentation today is The Relevance of Undergraduate Education and Climate Change Issues. And I want to first start with asking, where do we stand? These are ecological footprints from the recent National Footprints account, showing the hectare acreage per country from the US, China, Mexico, France, and global average. I think it doesn't need a mathematician to show us that the ecological footprint of the US exceeds that of China, Mexico, France, and the global average. That means as a country, we are consuming, making, and producing in a lot of ways, more so than other countries. More so, this recent paper just published a month ago on science about the economic damage from climate change in the United States. I was very, I don't know if encouraged is the right word, because it seems like climate change in the US is not really a reality. I think many of us think that it is kind of far removed from us, especially the effect, isn't it? But this paper very clearly shows us that there are implications, especially economic implications and effects that we may not be aware of. I'm not going to bore you through the whole paper. I would love to share with you the reference afterwards, but I just want to point out the gist of it is basically it costs us 1.2% gross domestic products per 1 centigrade change on average. Now, this is on average, and it is only 1 degree centigrade. In case we forgot, in 2016, our GDP is 18.57 trillion. If you do the math, 1.2% would be 220 million. So I hope we understand that we have a problem here, even though we may not see the effects and the impacts on a daily basis. So, environmental education, why? I call it 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It is not a new concept, it is not a new subject. It started actually over four decades ago with the Environmental Education Act. However, 10 years later, the Office of Environmental Education was eliminated. And then, a decade later, the National Environmental Education Act was reinstated with funding from the next 10 years totaling 77.9 million. It's a large sum of money, isn't it? So that means a lot should have been done. However, according to a recent study, the American perspective on climate change is not quite as we might have expected, having spent $77.9 million. 63% believe global warming is happening. That means the rest do not believe it is happening. Half of Americans understand that global climate change or global warming is caused mostly by human activities. So what does the rest half think? That it is not caused by human activities. And then only a quarter have ever heard of coral bleaching and ocean acidification. For those of you who was in the earliest session with Dorothy Boyce, I think we talked about this. So why and what led to these kind of effects? Well, first, the public's understanding of these global climate change issues may be there, but however, they are not really keeping up with the latest findings. Second, I think this was brought up earlier, many actually expect the federal government to do something, especially pressuring the businesses and the industry to have some kind of effects or actions, because they are the major polluters. So that means personal responsibility and stewardship issues are not really received and understood. However, in the midst of all this, there came this paper published in 2015 that states that education is the single indicator for public awareness for climate change issues. The results show that from this extensive survey of over 119 countries, over 2,000 participants, that education truly is the single strongest predictor of climate change awareness, as opposed to political stance, experiences of climate change, age, ethnicity, so on and so forth. More so, improving basic education and climate literacy is very important to public engagement and therefore leading to climate action. I was very intrigued by this finding in this paper, so I actually wrote the authors because at that time I was already starting to teach climate change issues in my chemistry classes. And I'm just curious, so does that really make a difference in continuing to teach these kind of issues? And I was very pleased that the authors actually wrote me back with a lot of encouragement and support and actually share with me their tool to continue to start to survey my students. So that is really what I'm about to share with you, some of the results from this survey. But before I go into sharing with you what we survey and how we survey, I want to just give you some background of where and what I teach. I teach at Azusa Pacific University. It's a Christian liberal arts college in northeastern Los Angeles. We have about 5,000, a little bit over 5,000 undergraduates, and 52% ethnic minority. I am primarily in charge of teaching Chemistry 101, it's an introductory level chemistry class. I have two camps of students, the science students who somehow got stuck with me and couldn't get onto general chemistry, and then I have those who declare they don't like science because they're non-science major, who had to teach, science course because of general education requirement. I also was part of the launching team to teach first year seminar, and I named and titled my section Science, Society, and Global Citizenship. So in both of these classes, I used different textbooks. In Chem 101, I use chemistry in context, and in FYS, I use not just science. But for both classes, I cover similar topics. There are three sections to my classes. First is the environmental topics, or environmental issues as such. Secondly, topics that revolving around sustainability and stewardship as such. And finally, personal health. All of these have recurrent theme that have to do with sustainability and stewardship. And one question we repeatedly ask in class is, just because we can do something, does it mean we should? I follow a very simple three-step model in teaching these topics, which I call learn, think, act. And this coincides with what literature reports to be an effective tool to teach science, that we first have to help students to understand the material and then show them how to appreciate the subject and finally invite them to commit to action. So this is what I'll do to help students learn. I would first share with them or teach them the principles and facts of science. In this slide, I would be teaching climate change, and I introduce the whole topic with introducing to them that Earth has a very fine energy balance with processes that's going on at all times. And more importantly, I clarify that greenhouse effect is actually necessary and natural. It's the enhanced greenhouse effect that we're experiencing that is connected to global climate change. Then I will encourage students to think about what we discussed by asking them to reflect on what we talked about in class through simple assignments such as 1-minute journal, and they can just write down according to this the prompt that I put on the screen, and this particular prompt has to do with global climate change. And finally, I would invite them to commit to action through some assignments that I call topical assignments that are not problem solved, no math. And many of them are usually quite happy to see that. So in this particular topical assignment has to do with the first section of my course, environmental issues. So first, I ask them to reflect and write down 4 practices or habits that they normally do. They don't have to scratch their head or tear their hair. It's just something that they would do normally that will contribute to air quality, ozone layer depletion, or global climate change. But not just that. I also want them to develop 3 remedies according to what they have shared about what they normally do. And I ask them to write down 3 remedies that are not just attainable but measurable, i.e. if they tell me I'm going to drive less, I'm going to ask them, so how much less are you going to drive? Well, I'm going to carpool. Well, how many times are you going to carpool? How much of a distance are you going to commit to walking, for example? And one favorite example I always share is my student Megan. After taking my class in the 4th semester for Christmas, she told me all she asked for and she wanted was a bicycle. And she, from that point on, she told me she tried to ride her bike everywhere she went. So after reading that paper I shared with you earlier, I was intrigued and I wonder, can we quantify some of these learning experiences and such? So we developed this environmental awareness survey that we conducted the first day of class when students came in, and also gave them the same survey the last day of class, so we call it the pre and the post, and then we look at the data to see if there's any change. Now, these surveys are given to the students with a specific anonymous participant ID, so we couldn't see who it is, and it was a blind process. Students are invited to share with us their religion, but they don't have to. There are 5 content questions that have to do with all the issues and topics that we talk about in class. There are also 5 positional statements that are adapted from the study that I shared with you earlier. And here are some of the topics under the 5 content questions and the 5 positional statements. At the end, we do ask the students if they have any prior experience, maybe they've attended an environmental science class, or maybe they've attended some seminars, whatnot, that might possibly influence the way they answer the questions. So I just want to show you the 5 positional statements. Don't feel like you have to read through all of them. I'm going to go through them more in depth in just a bit. But these are all positional statements that have to do with the topics of stewardship, eschatology, and also economic modes, based on this study that was published in 2015. So this is what the authors actually reported in their paper, but just to give you a sense of what I mean by the positional statements. So this particular one says, God expects people to be good stewards of nature, which is not only here for human use, that would be the ranking of 1, all the way to 7, God expects people to rule over nature, which is here for human use. And the participants can choose anywhere from 1 to 7, but these would be the 2 positional statements that they will align themselves more towards, and they would therefore select. And here are some of the results that I would like to share with you today. First, I'm pleased to share with you that the percent accuracy of content question, they improve after taking the class. I know, I wish this is even higher, but anyway, so first day of class, the content question accuracy was only at 41.4%. But the last day of class, it was at 77.34%. Now, I did not prompt them. They did not walk into class knowing that they're going to take a survey. It was not a quiz. They didn't study for it. So it was more a spontaneous survey. So therefore, we are pleased to report and conclude that there is an improvement in knowledge after this education in environmental issues. And next, we wanted to see if there's any correlation between the Christian faith and the improvement in knowledge. So this is the first paragraph I want to show you. These are the students or participants who claim that they continue to have faith and attend church regularly. So you can see that among these, 72% of them improved in their knowledge and 28% did not. So what about the counterpart? These are the ones who claim that they are skeptical or may have even abandoned their faith. 81% of them actually improved in their knowledge, and 19 did not. We continue on to see if there's any correlation between their faith and improvement of knowledge. So we conducted a Fisher table, and actually we found out that there is no significant connection between the 2 groups. So that means students improve the knowledge no matter what. It may not have to do with their faith. And I'm going to go more into this in a little bit. Now, positional statements, there are 5 of them. So the first one, God expects people to be good stewards of nature, which is not only here for human use, would be 1. And God expects people to rule over nature, which is here for human use, would be 7, and anything in between. And here are the results. So here are the values, pre and post. After running the t-test, we realized that there's not a significance between the pre and post. So there's not real change after taking the class in this positional statement. Second positional statement, according to Christian eschatology, the new world renewed by God is an extension of the existing world will be 1. First is the physical world will be destroyed, will be 7, and then anything else in between. Here are the findings. So the pre and post-test results values are shown, and after running the t-test, we do see a significance. That means after taking the test, the students actually are more aligning themselves towards the first statement That's the new world renewed by God is an extension of the existing world. And this is another way to look at the same data. I just put it in a bar graph. Third positional statement, based on the preceding belief, environmental preservation is valuable because the world will continue at one, and then preservation is futile because the world will be destroyed anyway at seven. And here are the results or values of the pre and post. The t-test shows that there is significance, indicating that students do align themselves more after taking the course, that preservation, environmental preservation is valuable because the world will continue. And this is another way to look at the same results. Fourthly, capitalism is the economic mode that is more in alignment with the Bible. One, socialism is the economic mode, is more in alignment with the Bible. We actually did not see any significance in the t-test. Maybe that's some piece to our minds. Anyways, so that is not significant in our finding. Finally, the fifth positional statement, based on the preceding belief, or that they have selected in the previous questions, development is more important than preservation. Position one, or ranking at one, or preservation is more important than development. We did not see significance in the t-test in this positional statement. So back to, I think we have touched upon that, why some evangelicals or faith was not connected to the improvement in knowledge and as such. So the same paper actually also have the same finding, similar finding, that few American Christians think global warming is a religious issue. They rather think that it is a environmental issue or even a scientific issue. They're not really connecting those two together. Same year, another study reported that Judeo-Christian traditions are actually less concerned about environmental protection than their non-religious peers. So that is not surprising in our study to find out that there was not a strong correlation between the students who expressed that they have abandoned the faith versus those who continue to go to church and have a personal faith in Christianity in correlation to the improvement in knowledge. So to conclude what we have found, first we know that the students have improved in the knowledge, which is a relief, in the subject. And out of the five positional statements, Christian faith have a significance. First, in the new world renewed by God being an extension of the existing world. And secondly, environmental preservation is valuable because the preservation of the world will continue. What could be some possible next steps? Well, we would like to form a focus or pilot study to continue with some longitudinal study to follow some of these students or participants to understand if there's any behavioral change, and if so, is it connected to the faith? And from there, we would like to see that lead to some kind of civic engagement that could be in a broader scale beyond our campus. Now, what does that mean for us? I want to share with you a quote from the National Academy of Science back actually 2 decades ago. Even though education and information programs are not the answer to every environmental policy need, they are fundamentally important in supporting responsible citizenship in a democracy. Well said, and it is a secular point of view from the government, but I think that coupled with the Christian perspective and Christian value, I think we can do even more. Because the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Furthermore, we are mandated to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. I wonder, who are our neighbors? And what does it look like in our expression of faith? And how do we honor God and love him in honoring Psalm 24:1 in every possible way? And for that, if I may argue or advocate the continual environmental education, especially among our Christian students, to help them to learn, think, act deeply. I want to close by thanking quite a few individuals and groups, Dr. Lazarowitz and Dr. Lee from the Yale School of Forestry and Columbia Climate Center really were very instrumental in propelling me to do this study. And I want to thank our dean, Dr. Walsh and Dr. Sito, for the funding for me to be here. My colleague, Dr. Kathleen Tallman, just for her intellectual support. And for my students to participate in these studies. And with that, I would like to end my presentation and answer any questions that you might have.
Considered giving the same test to maybe upperclassmen to see how they compare to the incoming freshmen as their faith and their understanding of their worldview is mature, all that sort of thing. Is that something you're looking at?
I would like to expand this outside of the scope of my classes. I'm just waiting for quite a few things to align.
Mr. Connor, I think Christian is a very broad term, and among Christians, there are a lot of different viewpoints.
Yes.
Liberal Christians would never believe that you should honor the earth because the earth is coming to an end. I don't think any liberals are concerned about that. You know, the world is coming. That almost ties in with the people who believe that that the end of the world is coming and you're going to be lifted up. I forget what that term is called, but you know, among liberals, they don't believe that. On the other hand, conservatives, you know, would tend to be just as you say, and you say environmental student is important because the world's coming to an end anyway. So I mean, I just say these are both Christians,
yes,
and yet very different points of view.
Right, right. There's actually the study out of the Yale School of Forestry. They did a study on the American mind and Christianity, and they actually further divided the evangelicals and the Catholics,
right,
so on and so forth. They have very interesting findings. But I can tell you that evangelicals are actually the least supportive of global climate change out of that study.
In general?
Yes.
What was the reason you put in the socialism, capitalism question?
It was just because I wanted to adapt from, we wanted to adapt from the study that I showed you in 2015, and we wanted to have some kind of variation in questions. So that's why we included that.
Seemed like a strange
question. Right, right. At the time of, I think we had a different mindset. So I think we and it was pre-election, so we wanted to be these studies were all done in the school year 2016-2017. So it started late August all the way to May. Yes.
First of all, thank you. Second, I wonder about American evangelicals versus, say, English or European evangelicals, because I know that on origin issues there seems to be a real difference in that flavor. I don't know really why, but I wonder if something might like that. Anything you come across from reading?
I haven't yet, but great point. I'm going to look into it, but I think that's worth looking into. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sometimes I wonder about at what age do ideas get
cemented in children. I did teach at a Christian high school for a while and was able to teach an environmental science course. I wonder if some of your ideas could be applied into secondary schools.
Absolutely.
And maybe have a larger impact. I found students to be more receptive than parents.
Very good point.
But,
they,
I was disappointed because when I stopped teaching that course and eventually left, the person teaching it later, when I chatted with him, thought that climate change didn't have to be in an environmental science course, which is kind of discouraging.
Yeah, we look at the conceptual research, high school and college age kids, that's when things are being split. So that's a good time frame to grab it.
Yes.
This brings up an interesting question. It's quite possible that your students are taking another course where the environment is discussed, you know, and
right.
which they're being taught the opposite of what you're teaching.
Right. So that's that last question that we didn't get to analyze all the data, but presenting most of it here. But there's one part of the survey that I think we're going to look into. Thank you.
Anybody else?